Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is endued like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Amen. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or nakedness or famine or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Amen. What a wonderful opportunity. Thank you, Pastor, for the honor of having me to preach today. I've been filling this pulpit for, since the church started, 68, how many years ago? 65 years? Yeah. The marriage was 68. Yeah, that's right. I knew I'd get it straight. 65 years ago, in one capacity or another. I'm so glad to be here today. God bless you, young people. And God bless all of you older folks, too. You joined my club a long time ago. We've been senior citizens. Somebody asked, by the way, why is the senior citizens group called the 29ers? Well, it's for this reason, for those of you who do not know. I became pastor of this church when I was 27 years old. For 2 years, again, age 29. When I got to 29, I said, folks, this is it. I'll not get any older than 29. So they took up that and said, we'll call the senior citizens the 29ers. Welcome to the 29ers, folks, and the 39ers, and 79ers, and almost 89ers now. Welcome to all of you, and a privilege and a joy to be with you today in this wonderful place. Well, I've used enough runway. Open your Bible. By the way, did I tell you? When we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Amen. Let's see what God's thinking about this morning in the Gospel according to John, chapter number 14. As you're finding your place in the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to John, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives. And the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Aren't you glad it's settled right here on earth in this wonderful, precious book that we call the Bible? Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful, and precious, and perfect, and pure, and pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. I read this precious book, John chapter 14. I'd like to consider the first three verses as a telegram that Jesus sent to every member of Adam's wretched, ruined, rebellious race. I'm going to read it for you in just a moment after we pray. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both now and ever. So may it be. We do thank thee, Father, for thy majesty and might, magnificence, for thy glory and honor. Bless the reading of thy word and the preaching. If there are those who know not Christ, may they come to know thee and the Lord Jesus. In his name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. John chapter 14, here it is, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. There are three words that are dear to people all over the earth. They are mother, home, and heaven. Mother symbolizes love and all that love embraces. Home symbolizes security and all that security embraces. Heaven symbolizes happiness, pardon me, and all that happiness embraces. The American evangelist D.L. Moody, who shook two continents for Christ, who preached without the help of radio or television or even a public address system to over 100 million people, even preached to the soldiers in the Civil War at Murfreesboro and other places. On his deathbed, by the way, he led 250,000 people to Christ personally. On his deathbed, his last words were these: heaven is opening, earth is receding. He got a glimpse of heaven, and he said farewell to these things on earth. Ladies and gentlemen, no theme in the Bible is more comforting, more consoling, or more inspiring than heaven. There's no subject that I'd rather preach on than the subject of heaven. There's no investment that I'd rather make than to make in heaven. There's no other song that I'd rather sing than a song about heaven. Many of you will remember Brother Alan Wehunt, who graced this pulpit for many years with his wonderful song, "There's a Holy and Beautiful City, Whose Builder and Maker is God, John saw it descending from heaven while Patmos in exile he trod. My loved ones are gathering yonder. My friends too are passing away. And soon I'll join their fair number and live an eternity's day. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I'm waiting, watching, and longing for that white city that is soon coming down. How that blessed our hearts. How the memories flood our souls with songs like that. Thank God for the old songs that have a message. As Dr. Norris used to say, none of this Johnny get a cat gun bigger than a rat gun, sis, baboo. But songs that have a message. Heaven is my eternal home, ladies and gentlemen. Heaven is my eternal hope. And heaven is my eternal happiness. Heaven answers all the longings of my heart. Heaven fills the emptiness of my soul. Heaven calms all the fears of my life. Heaven is where Jesus is. Heaven is where our loved ones are. Many of you, there's probably not a family in this room, but who hasn't led a dear loved one to yonder city of the dead and laid them to rest. In the last 6 years, I've had 3 sisters and 2 brothers, a niece and a nephew, to go home to be with the Lord. I'm anxious see them again. I'm anxious to see my dear mother, whose dying prayer was, dear Lord, please call my sons into the ministry. Heaven is where our mansions are. My heavenly home is bright and fair. Nor pain nor death shall enter there. Its glittering towers the sun outshine. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. The Word of God plainly tells us that the destiny of all believers is to be with the Lord in heaven forever. Remember the psalmist said that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Paul wrote in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If you're out in the Laurel Land Cemetery, I don't know how to tell you to get there, but we have our stone already there. Raymond W. Barber, August 12, 1932. Thank God the next blank, sentence is blank. Mary Helen Barber, February 13, 1931. It's blank next to it. We have our picture. But I want to say most of all, underneath is this inscription, the verse of Scripture, Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. Paul went on in that chapter, Philippians 1, to say, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He also wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we do groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our house from heaven. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Remember King David's little baby got real sick? While the baby was sick, he was on his face, not changing clothes, not eating, not getting up, not drinking water. But when the baby died, by the way, he heard his servants whispering. You know, when people start whispering around a sick person, look out. The next word is, he's gone. Well, the baby died, and David got up, shaved, changed clothes, took a bath, ate supper. And they asked him, what's the difference? He said, well, I can't bring him back, but I can go be with him. Thank God we can't bring him back, and wouldn't if we could, but we can go to be with him. Jesus ascended into heaven as our forerunner, making the way for us. One day, and it will not be long, he's coming back to take us home. It is not if he's coming, it's when he's coming. It may be at morn when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world his own. It may be at midday. It may be at twilight. It may be perchance that the blackness of midnight will burst into the light in the blaze of his glory when Jesus receives his own. Oh joy, oh delight, should we go without dying, no sickness, no sadness, no dread, and no crying, caught up through the clouds with our Lord into glory when Jesus receives his own. Oh Lord Jesus, how long? How long? Here we shout the glad song, hallelujah, Christ returneth. Hallelujah. Amen. He's coming, ladies and gentlemen. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. As a boy growing up in my dad's church over in Virginia, it was my privilege, because my daddy brought them into his pulpit, to hear the great preachers of that era, J. Frank Norris, Louis Ensminger, G.B. Vick, Harold Seitler, J. Harold Smith, many others. But at the top of the list with me at that time as I was a boy was Mordecai F. Ham, the revivalist of my old Kentucky home. I heard him preach many messages. I never heard him preach a message, but what he stressed, two things, don't miss this. Number one, the rise of Russia. And number two, the return of Jesus. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Russia has risen. And I'm glad that Jesus is returning. Matthew 24, verse 40, I give you his word. By the way, I'm going to quote Jesus already. I just love to quote Jesus. There are 181,453 words in the New Testament. 36,450 of them are words of Jesus. So I got a long way to go to get them all. But I'm going to quote him from Matthew 24, 44. Wherefore, he said, be ye also, not get ready, but be. There's a difference. Be, live in a state of anticipation. Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Did you ever think how magnificent heaven must be? I see that commercial on television. The guy says, have you ever seen anything that's so beautiful? The only thing you could say is, wow. Well, when I see heaven, I'm going to say, wow. That's what I said when I saw Mary Helen 68 years ago. Wow. I'm still saying that today, by the way. No man can adequately describe the glories of heaven. There's no way to see all of heaven in one day. So just get ready for it. We'll probably spend the first 1,000,000 years just looking in the face of our Lord, adoring him, honoring him, praising him, glorifying him. Those who study these things tell us it takes 2 weeks to see the city of London, 4 weeks to see the city of Moscow, 6 weeks to see the glories of Rome. I've been in all three of those cities for a day or two. We didn't touch the surface of seeing those great cities. But no man, no vocabulary, it would exhaust Webster's unabridged dictionary and then some to begin to tell the glories of heaven. I'm going to give you my feeble take on it. In heaven, we will live in mansions and never make a mortgage payment. That's wonderful, isn't it? In heaven, we'll walk on a street of gold and never pay taxes. In heaven, we'll play on golden harps and never take a music lesson. In heaven, we'll drink from the river of life and never fear contamination. In heaven, we'll eat from the tree of life and never worry about E. coli or Ebola or salmonella poisoning or any other poisoning. In heaven, we'll sing in heaven's choir and never have to rehearse. You people ought to say amen to that. This guy just never have to rehearse. We will dine at the marriage supper of the Lamb and never think about indigestion or heartburn, having a honeymoon for 7 years. My wife and I had a 3-day honeymoon. Dr. Norris furnished us his vehicle and rented the finest hotel room in Fort Worth for us to have our honeymoon. But we're going to have a 7-year honeymoon with Jesus, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Pass the angel food cake and smear it with peanut butter. We will live forever in heaven and never face retirement, disease, or death. We need no Medicare, no Medicaid, no social aid, no first aid, no Band-Aid, no hearing aid, no walking aid, no seeing aid. I'm going to take a little survey. By the way, I'm just about to get to my message. All of this is introduction. Now listen carefully. I have a question for you. How many of you could say by the lifted hand, I know, not because I'm good, not because I've done anything that's worthy of anything in this world, but I know because I've trusted Christ as my Savior, if I were to die today, I would go to heaven. Would you lift your hand with me? What a sea of hands. God bless you. By the way, I must tell you, to be heaven bound, you must be heaven born. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now that's my introduction. I'm ready to start preaching. I think my message is probably shorter than my introduction. I know you hope so. Be that as may, I've entitled the message, Heaven, the Beautiful Home of the Soul. I submit to you in the first place that heaven is a prepared place. By the way, heaven is not a state of mind. Heaven is not some mystical air pocket somewhere beyond the blue. Heaven is a place. Jesus said, I'm quoting Jesus again, I go to prepare a place. Let me take it a step further. Heaven is a city. John said in the Revelation 21:16, the city lieth four square. He said in Revelation 21:18, the city is pure gold. He said in Revelation 21:14, the city has 12 foundations. How beautiful heaven must be. I was sitting in the doctor's office the other day and flipping through the Fort Worth magazine. I came to the section where it was advertising homes for sale. I saw one that was listed, now get this, $9,995,000. I called the number, but it had already been sold, so I couldn't do that. But you know, Jesus is the architect. He's the designer. He's the builder. He's the decorator. Jesus prepared heaven for the redeemed of all the ages, past, present, and future. Listen to what I'm going to quote Jesus again. Get ready. From Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11, this is a marvelous verse. Jesus said, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west. You folks out in native Texans think he was talking about East Texas and West Texas. No, no, no. He's talking about the world, east and west. They will come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. I want to ask Abraham to tell me about his Mount Moriah experience. I'm anxious to learn from Isaac about that beautiful bride, Rebecca. I want to know from Jacob that many about that all-night wrestling match he had with the angel of the Lord who pinned him to the mat in the first round. Thinks he was talking about East Texas and West Texas. No, no.
Not only did Jesus prepare heaven for us, he prepared us for heaven.
And how did he do it? He'll come from the east and west and shall sit down with...
He does it by washing us from our sins in his own blood.
Yeah. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Unto him... who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Heaven is a perfect place. Heaven will be a place of perfect peace, perfect rest, perfect harmony, perfect knowledge. Get this one. Perfect neighbors. No more neighborhood brawls. By the way, Pastor, you and I will be perfect. Now, some people think we're already perfect. Please don't tell them any different. We'll be perfect. Well, I'm going to have a second thought on that one. Some fellow said, to love my enemies for me is no chore. My only real problem is my neighbor next door. You won't have that problem in heaven. Everybody's perfect. Nothing will ever enter there to contaminate its perfection. I have written proof of that from Revelation 21 and verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Now watch this. are they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. John issues another stern warning about those whose names are not written in the book of life. Hear it from Revelation 20. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Please don't miss this. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written on the church roll, no. Could I say this with all the kindness that I have in my soul? There'll be multiplied scores and hundreds and across the world thousands of people that will slide off of a church pew into hell. They've gone through the formalities. They've sung the hymns. They've even given in the offering. They've shaken hands with the preacher. They've listened, but they've never been born again. Search your heart, my friend, this morning. Choir member, deacon, Sunday school teacher, whoever it might be. Is your name written there? On that page, bright and fair? Is your name written there? John gives us a very graphic description. By the way, when you get home, read Revelation 21 in its entirety. I give you a few verses beginning at verse 1. John says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Oh, but listen to this. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall all have their part in the fire which burneth with brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, my soul. No tears? No. No pain? No suffering? No heartache? No sorrow? No loneliness? No disappointments? No sadness? No death, no funeral homes, no cemeteries, no crippled children's home, no hospitals, no orphanages, no nursing homes, no veterans homes, no wars. Wow. I remember World War II. I was just a kid. Every day or two, the telephone would ring. My dad had a large congregation. This was the days before mega churches and big bus ministries and all of that. Had a 1,000 or more average for week after week and month after month. The telephone rings on the other end of the line. There's a dear mother weeping. Preacher Barber, please meet me at the bus station. Johnny is going off to war. I want you to be here with us. We had one mother that had 5 sons in World War II at one time. No more war. How wonderful to live in a warless world. Isaiah said they'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not rise up against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Oh, what a wonderful. Heaven's going to be a pure place. Revelation 22, he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Heaven is a permanent place. I love this. Don't miss it. Hebrews 13 and verse 14. Paul wrote, here we have no continuing city. Now, Fort Worth is a great city. I love it. I don't love everything that goes on in it, but I love the great city of Fort Worth. But it's not a continuing city, nor is Dallas or Houston or Austin or San Antonio or Washington, D.C. Thank God for that. Or San Francisco or Detroit or Chicago or Los Angeles or Atlanta. None of these are continuing cities. Listen to what John said in the Revelation 16, 19. The cities of the nations fell. And Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3, but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away. Watch this now, with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Please listen to this. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. One day the city of Fort Worth will be on fire. Dallas will be on fire. No continuing city. All the great cities rumble, tumble to the ground. No continuing city, but watch this. We look for one. We seek one to come. And that one is heaven, and it's permanent. Hebrews 11:10, Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By the way, he found it. How do I know? Well, Jesus said he's going to come and sit down with us in the kingdom of heaven. I know he found it, and we're going to find it because Jesus is going to take us there. That's what he said, and I believe what he said. Heaven is a populated place. Every blood-bought, blood-washed, redeemed sinner will be there. Even the tribulation saints will join us and take their place in the throne room before the Lamb. Listen to it, Revelation 7. You don't want to miss this. John said, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? In other words, who are these? Where did they come from? And John said, I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, watch this now. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I have a question for every person in this room. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in his blood? Do you rest each moment in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When I asked early on, 15, 20 minutes ago, I guess, how many could lift your hand if you know you're going to heaven? Some of you couldn't lift your hand. Well, I want to give you an invitation to come to Jesus. Trust him. Believe in him. Honor him today by calling upon him and asking him to save you. Perhaps you're here and you are saved, but you just wouldn't really want to go to heaven today the way things are. You need to get some things on the altar first. I'm going to invite you to come and find your place. Maybe you're here today and you need a church home. I can tell you without any hesitation or reservation, I would recommend Worth Baptist Church for your church home. Perfect? Not by any means. Because you don't have any perfect members. One day we will be. But I invite you to come and join one of the greatest churches on the continent. Gospel, music, fellowship, togetherness, salvation. Everything we need is right here. Come and join as we stand together with our heads bowed. Altars open, invitation has already begun. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, whatever it might be about, I invite you to come. Come and trust Jesus. Come and join the church. Come and pray. Come and get things right and ready for heaven in your life. Father, I truly thank you for this time, for those that are already coming, those that are going to come. May the Holy Spirit speak to all of our hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray. While our heads are bowed, Brother Johnson will lead us in the invitation appeal. Step out today, whatever the need is, whatever the burden, whatever the problem, whatever the heartache. Come on right now, don't wait. Don't wait on somebody else. Somebody else may not come. Come on right now. Why?